Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after the Epiphany is from Jonah chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's reading is a hard reading. If taken out of context or misapplied, it could be easily twisted into saying something that it really isn't. In fact, I wouldn't be overly surprised to find out that some of our Roman Catholic friends might use this very passage to support the monastic orders and maybe even the celibacy of the priesthood. For me, though, I find it particularly interesting that this chapter of 1 Corinthians comes right after our reading from last week. Remember that in the 3-year series, the epistle readings, which is what I'm preaching off of this year, are usually not connected to the Gospel and Old Testament readings, except perhaps by coincidence. So aside from maybe the immediacy and short amount of time remaining, there really isn't anything that connects the other two readings to our epistle today. Which is a bit unfortunate in this case, because it means that we don't have any other scriptures handy to help us interpret this one. That's what you're supposed to do when you run into a text that is a struggle for you. You're supposed to let scripture interpret scripture. Of course, that's not exactly the easiest thing in the world. Primarily, this is because we aren't as familiar with the word as we likely should be. Instead of buckling down and truly studying the scriptures, and yes, even memorizing the scriptures, we have a tendency to allow ourselves to be distracted by many and various other things. Which brings us to our text for today. Listen again as Paul warns to not let anything distract us from our relationship with our Lord and Savior. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had not goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. So, time for context, so that we can understand what Paul is getting at here. First off, recognize that Paul and the early church took Jesus much more seriously than we do when he said that he was going to return soon. The early Christians literally thought that Jesus was going to come back any day, unlike us nowadays. It's worth mentioning, however, that Paul and the early Christians were right. Jesus did, in fact, come back for them in a relatively short amount of time. And it was likely very quick and unexpected for a great majority of them. When we think of the prophecies regarding the timing of Jesus' return, we usually think of the time that Jesus is going to come back for the final time. And make no mistake, that is the ultimate fulfillment of those prophecies. However, another aspect of those prophecies is that we don't know when we're going to die. We like to think that we have plenty of time before we're going to pass out of this world. That there are years and years to prepare ourselves and to get ourselves ready. But for all we know, a satellite could fall from space and land on our church at this very moment, killing us all. We truly don't know when our Lord is going to come for us. And therefore, as both Jesus and Paul speak about, we ought to live our lives as though Jesus could come literally any moment. Part of what the Corinthians were struggling with was how to actually do that. In particular, they were struggling with how to deal with earthly relationships. This entire chapter of 1 Corinthians is Paul addressing some of these very practical issues. Things such as, Should a man get married or stay celibate? What about if a woman is betrothed to a man who isn't a believer? What about if your spouse who isn't a believer wants to get a divorce? Is that acceptable in the eyes of God? Our reading for today is, in many ways, the primary principle that is behind all of Paul's other thoughts in this chapter. And it really comes down to this for him. I want you to be free from anxieties. Paul isn't saying that it's bad to be married, which is how some people might misinterpret this text. What he's saying is that when you bind yourself to another person, you're going to worry about that person. And that it is quite possible that you might worry about your relationship with that person more than you're going to worry about your relationship with Christ. So that's the question that you need to ask yourself. What relationship are you most invested in? Your relationship with your spouse or your relationship with God? That's a hard question to answer. Oftentimes because we are well aware that we don't have the right answer to it. Now don't mistake me, marriage is good. Having another human being to rely on through this life is very good indeed. It was, after all, God himself who said, "It is not good that man should be alone." And just last week, we talked in particular about just one of the awesome gifts that God has blessed marriage with. But also don't be mistaken about this. The devil, the world, and our very own sinful nature will use anything and everything to try and separate us from God. There are, in fact, a great many truly good things that God has created in this life and this world. But all of them are lesser goods compared to the ultimate good that is our God. Marriage is good, but when it takes the place of God in your life, it becomes a tool for your sinful nature. Your vocations are good, but when they take the place of God in your life, they become tools of the world. Children are good, but when they take the place of God in your lives, they become your idols and distract you from your God. This text is about priorities. Who's the number one relationship in your lives? You all know that it's supposed to be God. But how do you actually do that? To be honest, it's going to look a bit different for each and every one of you, but there are a few things that should be common throughout all of our lives. First off, someone who puts Christ first in their lives is going to avail themselves of every opportunity to receive the gifts that he has promised to give us, that is, his word and sacraments. Also, someone who prioritizes their relationship with Christ over any other will want to know what Jesus has to say. Therefore, they will be avid students of the Bible. And lastly, at least for this sermon anyways, if someone really and truly is invested in their relationship to God, then they will be in constant prayer, thanking, praising, and petitioning him all throughout the day. You all know this. Knowing isn't the hard part. Doing is the hard part. And starting to do it when you aren't in the habit of it is often the hardest part. But don't forget why Paul is talking about any of this. I want you to be free from anxieties. Paul doesn't want you to be stressed and worried. Generally speaking, we don't want to be stressed and worried either. What is surprising is how he goes about trying to help us with that. However, Paul's message here is really just another way of saying what Jesus said. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus cares about you. He doesn't want your life to be full of stress and anxiety. More importantly, he actually did something about that. He died for us and rose for us. And one of the results of that saving act is that we no longer have anything to worry about. Jesus has successfully atoned for our sins and declared us righteous. We therefore know where we're going to end up. But don't forget about this either. Because oftentimes our worry and our stress comes from our care for our family and our loved ones. He didn't just die and rise for you as an individual. He died for your husbands and for your wives, for your sons and for your daughters, for your mothers and fathers, your sisters and brothers, your friends and co-workers. Jesus cares about them as well and is actively pursuing and keeping them just as much as he is actively pursuing and keeping you. And here's something that I wonder if we don't forget. One of the most useful aspects of any relationship in which both people are Christians is that you can help each other to keep God central to your lives. The husband can help the wife to remember to pray after an exhausting day. The wife can help the husband to get up on a Sunday morning to come to church. Both husband and wife can help their children to study the word by holding family devotions. One of the other greatest gifts that we can have in this life is strong Christian people around us. People who are there for us when we need help. People who always point us toward Christ and are always praying for us in this life. It's almost like God knew what he was doing when he instituted the church here on earth, huh? Relationships can be one of the greatest gifts that God gives us here on this earth. When they are in the right place in your life, they can be strong supports for you. People holding you up and you holding them up in return. People who sometimes drag you kicking and screaming to your God, and who you sometimes drag kicking and screaming to their God. You are free to have those relationships and to encourage those relationships for others. You are free to live as Christians who are members of his church, members of Christ's own body. And you are free to have Christ be central in your life and your highest priority. He will come back for us soon. Whether that means he comes to end this sinful world, or he simply comes to bring you out of this sinful world, I don't know. But he is coming, and the time is short. You are free to live that way, looking forward to when it will no longer be a struggle to hold Christ at the center of our lives, and looking back to the time when Christ put you and your lives before his. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.